One of the greatest things that I really enjoy about the Word of God and being a follower of Jesus is this, is the fact that Jesus is my example. He is the example, even though I can read from the book about Paul, and I can read about John, I can read about James, I can read about Abraham, and I can read about Moses and all the other great men of God who God has used in the past. But the thing about it is Jesus is my example. He is the standard by which I live my life. In fact, Paul said it this way. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he said, follow me as long as you know I'm following Christ. And the moment you realize I'm no longer following Christ in an area, don't follow me in that area. But too many times what people do is they pour out the baby with the bathwater. A person could be 99% right or 95% right and miss it in one area, and we just discard everything else they said, which can be a very big error, because it's kind of like, the world has this in the dating realm, and it's crazy. They call it the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is this, is that a lot of people will give up 80% of what it is that they are getting to try to chase after the 20% that they're not getting, not understanding the fact that that person who they chased after for that 20% also has a 20% in them that they may not have. For them, and it's a vicious cycle, which the adversary has already, implemented to try to always cause us to chase after something that we think we don't have, looking for something that we hope to get in the sweet by and by. When was the first time he ever did this? He did this in the Garden of Eden. Now you think about it, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and God had prepared everything for them before they ever got there. And he had already, he created their supply. He created their arrangements. He created everything that they would need to be able to fulfill the purpose, the plans, the pursuits that God had for their lives. In fact, he told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, he says, God had already made the garden, and God even brought Adam to the garden. God gave him specific instructions and told him, he says, you are to cultivate it, which means to develop. And he says, and you are to guard it, which those were the two commands that God gave him, to cultivate it. That's one of your purposes. And to guard it, which means there, even though Adam was there, he would need to be continue to develop it. But he also told him to guard it, which means there was something out there that Adam needed to protect the garden against. Then he gave him this one command: every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat of it, for in the day that you do it, you will surely die. Now, every other tree in that garden, Adam could partake of. But it was that one tree that God says, don't eat of that one. He says, because in the day that you eat of it, he says, you will surely die. Now, what did the adversary do? The adversary, who was cunning and he's crafty, this is what he said to Eve. Now, he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve, even though Adam was standing right next to her. This is what he said to her: can you not eat of all the trees of the garden? And her reply was, yeah, we could eat of all the trees of the garden except that one tree, because of the one tree we cannot eat it, nor shall we even touch it, for in the day we do, we will surely die. What did the adversary say to them then in Genesis chapter 3? You shall not surely die, because God knows that the moment that you eat of that tree, you will be just like him, knowing good and evil. Now, what did he do? He interjected a thought into their minds to make them think they was missing something. It's kind of like the 80-20 rule. It's like you was missing something, or you're lacking something. And it's like, they ignored all the other 999% things that they already have to chase after this one thing. How many of us in our lives have discarded all the other great things that God has already done for us, chasing after that one thing that we believe has eluded us? And what happens is you get so distracted following after these other things, you never fulfill God's purpose, his plan, and his pursuit for your life. And the reason why I love the example of Jesus is this, because no matter what, people try to put in front of him, no matter what they try to get him to do, no matter how many accolades they try to give him, no matter how many times they try to talk against him, no matter what, he had one focus and he had one mindset at mind. And it was this, and it's found in John chapter 6, verse 38. And this is what Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And if there's one thing we can get out of all this today, you have not come to this earth for such a time as this to fulfill your own will, but to fulfill the will of him who sent you. When you were born, God already had a plan. God already had a purpose. God already had a way. God already had all the resources and provisions and everything you would ever need in order for you to fulfill the plans and purposes that he ordained for you from the foundation of the world. How do you know that God already had a purpose and a plan for you? Because Jeremiah, it says it in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That's what God said to Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were even born, I sanctified you." Now think about this. God knew you before you was in, he ever formed you in the womb. God says, "Before you was even born, I had already sanctified you or set you apart for the master's good use." And he says, "And I had ordained you for," and in Jeremiah's case, is for a prophet of the nations. In other words, God says, before you were ever formed, before you were ever born, before you ever came forth out of your mom's womb, he says, "I already had a plan, already had a purpose, already had a will, already had a way. I had everything you would need in order for you to fulfill my purposes for your life. But I can't do it and go against your own will," which means you play a vital part in whether or not God's will is accomplished in your life, in this life, in earth, just as it is in heaven. Why do you think Jesus, when he prayed and he was teaching the disciples about how to pray, he said this in Matthew chapter 6. What did he say? After he says, "You could pray to the Father in this manner. I use this as your template on how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What did Jesus say he came to do? Not his own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent him. What should our prayer be? "Father, not my will, but your will be done." In every area, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your finances, whether it's with your career, whether your kids go to school, what career that they are to pursue. You know, when I used to be a youth pastor, I would say to the kids, I would say, "Hey, don't just go to school chasing money," because that's what the adversary would have you to do. "Go to school because I want to make a whole bunch of money. I want to be famous. I want this. I want that." And what it sounds like, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Before you go to any career or choose what school you're going to go to, the first thing you need to do is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. "Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God." What does that mean? Inquire of him. Ask him, "Father, I seek to do your will. My purpose and plan for life is to do your will, to seek your will in all that I say and in all that I do." And then allow him to show you what he has already preordained for your life from the foundation of the world, and go that direction. Why would you do that? Because his way always works. His way, he's already financed and he's already set up the people, the finances, the meetings, the inquiries that you would need in order for you to fulfill his purpose, plan, and pursuit. You ask me, how do I know? Well, I could tell you. Years ago, I had a desire. When I was in the seventh grade, I knew that I wanted to be either a firefighter or a lawyer. Now, most people say, "You knew you wanted to be a firefighter or a lawyer?" I said, "Yes, in the seventh grade, I could tell you that's what I knew I wanted to be." So when I grew up and everything, I went to the military and came back and the whole nine yards. And when I came back, I was like, okay, first I said, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to go to firefighter school. So I found this program that I was going, because I wanted to be a firefighter. So I decided I was going to go to this firefighter program, and I got accepted into the program, and I was in it, and I started going down that path. But something happened. Something happened that I had never experienced before. I did not do well on my first test, and it was accelerated program. So you could only bomb like or do bad on three tests, and you was out of that program for that series, and you'd have to recycle back through. So the first test, I didn't do so well. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And then the second test, I'm studying harder and all that. And I did better, but I didn't do what I was used to. So I went back to God. I'm like, God, what is the problem? Because, you know, I've always done well on tests. You've always caused me to prosper. What is wrong? He says, fast and pray, and I'll tell you tomorrow. Now, mind you, I got to go to school the next day. So I fast and pray all day long. And I get into the time when I'm supposed to be going to school, and I get right there. And as soon as I get ready, I say, okay, Lord, I need an answer. Where am I? You know, why am I having these issues and these challenges on these tests? He says, because I never called you to be a firefighter. I called you to be a youth pastor. I'm like, a youth pastor? No such thing as no youth pastor, because at that time I didn't know anything about youth ministry. He says, yes, there is. I argue back. I said, no, there's not. He said, yes, there is, and I'll show you. So I said, well, what about going to school? He said, I know, never told you to go to school in the first place. I said, oh, praise God. Now I got to call the school, tell them I'm not coming back and everything. I still ended up having to pay for the tuition and everything because I had already taken up a class space that could have been used for somebody else. Now, you would think I would be happy about that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was not. I was upset because I did not know if there was ever a such thing as a youth pastor, because I had never heard of that. Even though I grew up in church all my little young life as a son of a Baptist pastor, I had never heard of a youth pastor before. So he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you on this day, go to this city and go to this church, and I'm going to show you there's a such thing as a youth pastor. So I find myself going down. I'm going to be obedient. I go down to the city where he says to go, to the church he tells me to go. And guess what I found out? There very much is a big thing called youth ministry. So I go and I'm sitting there I'm going through this training and everything, but I'm not a youth pastor yet. I'm not even in youth ministry yet. In fact, the church I was at did not even have a youth ministry. And I'm gonna tell you, this was the setup God had. Remember, I told you that God already has the plan, he already has the people, he already has the resources in place for what it is he's called you to do. This is what I found out. When I go back to the church I was at, I was already a minister on the staff there, and I'm sitting there, and I used to watch the youth sit back there, and they was bored out of their mind when the pastor would be up there. Nothing against him. They was just bored. And I said within myself, somebody really needs to do something about it. I said, because they are bored. Heck, when I remember when I was that age, I would sit back in the back of the church, and I was bored just like them. And so this is what I said to the Father. I said, Lord, somebody really needs to do something about that. He says, yes. I want you to go to the pastor and tell him that you're going to start a youth ministry. Now, mind you, I don't know anything about youth ministry. I just had my first experience that there was even such thing as a youth ministry or youth pastors. So I'm like, Lord, this is not even my church. He says, just go to the pastor and tell him what I said. And I'm like, okay, well, he ain't going to go for it. I said, but okay. So at the church, I go to the pastor. I said, sir, hey, I noticed that the kids back there, they really seemed like they weren't really interested. You know, I'd like to start a youth ministry. Then I'm thinking he's going to say no. He didn't. He's like, that's a great idea. I'm like, man, now I'm on the hook. I said, okay. Where you gonna have it at? And I pointed to this room. I said, that room back there. He said, that's a great idea. He said, when you gonna start? I'm like, oh no, Lord. He said, tell him next week. I said, next week. He said, that's a great idea. He thought it was a great idea. Now I'm walking out of the church. Now I just signed up to be a youth pastor, which I don't know anything about, in a church that may not necessarily teach the same way that God was telling me to teach the youth. And I'm sitting there like, Lord, and I walk out of that church and I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. He says, I know you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. He says, because that's why you're going to have to depend on me to do it. Now you would think by this time, Now I'm no longer a firefighter. Now I'm this youth pastor, which God said that's what he had called me to be in the first place. And you're saying, what's the significance of all this? Because if I would have stayed on the path of the firefighter, I would have missed what God had already preordained for me to do, chasing after something that I always wanted to do, and it didn't line up with what God had already ordained for me to do. If I had a decision, I could continue to follow my own will, or I can follow the will of the Father who had already sent me. Now, you would think by this time I would be excited, you know, excited, shouting of glory, hallelujah. It was not. The very next week when I came in at church and I was going to start with the youth, and I mean, the pastor was excited. The parents was excited. The youth, I think we was probably both, they didn't know what to expect. Heck, I didn't know what to expect. And I said, God, what do I do? He says, go back there and teach them the same thing you would teach the adults. I'm like, okay. So I go back there. And I'm teaching them like I would teach the adults. They wasn't getting anything out of it. I'm wishing this thing was over. And when it got to the end, we all was hoping I got to the end. And once we all got to the end and church was closing, I'm like, Lord, that was horrible. You told me to teach him the same thing I would teach the adults. He says, I did say to teach him the same thing you would teach the adults, but I didn't tell you to teach him that way. He said, you got to teach him on a level to which they can receive it. And that's when I said, okay, Lord, I need help. And he says, I already got help coming. And before I got out of that room, this young lady who was already at the church says, hey, you started a youth ministry. I used to work in ministry. Do you need some help? Absolutely. And what ended up happening, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that I would do the teaching. She would come up with the games or activity that we would do to tie the teaching together, so it became more practical to the kids. Why am I telling you all that? Because in the natural, in my inner man, none of it made sense. Father, I had wanted to be a firefighter, or a lawyer that's all I ever dreamed about being all my little life. And now I'm at the place where I wanted to be at, and it was going to be the greatest thing ever. And then you come and you tell me, that's not what I called you to do. I never intended for you to do that. I called you to do this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm at the crossroads, because I'm either going to continue to follow my own way, or I'm going to follow God's. And when I made a decision to follow God's, I'm not going to tell you it was great all of a sudden, because even after that moment, even after she showed up, even after all those things happened, one day I was at work and I'm having a pity party. I know, right? Can you believe that? I was having a pity party because I was still upset, because I still wanted to be a firefighter and I wanted to be a lawyer. And I told God, I said, Lord, I wanted to be a firefighter. He said, you are. I said, but I wanted to be a lawyer. He said, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He says, yes, you are. I said, okay, prove it. He says, when you are a firefighter, a person may have a fire going off on in their life, and I'll give you a word. And when you give them that word, it will put the fire out in their life. I was like, okay. He says, and a lawyer, he says, when they don't know how to pray for themselves, when they don't know how to come to be for themselves, I'll have you standing in for them and come to me on their behalf, and I'll answer it because you asked me to. He says, you see, you're a firefighter, you're a lawyer, and you're still operating according to my perfect will for your life. Why am I saying this to you today? Because there's so many people who are miserable in the life that they're living right now, totally miserable, but they're doing it because they're chasing a paycheck, or they're doing it because they're chasing fame, or they're doing it because that's what their parents want them to do and that's what they desire them to do. But God said to share this word with you this morning. He says, I have called you for such a time as this, to bring other people out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you're not going to do that. Continue to do the same things you've always done. Some of you have been called to be evangelists. Some of you have been called to be pastors. Some of you have been called to be apostles, but others of you, you've been called to the marketplace ministry, where you can do ministry in the marketplace. How do you do ministry in the marketplace? You do ministry in the marketplace by being a representative of the kingdom of God and taking God's righteous ways of doing and being right into the marketplace. And you can bring in the biblical principles, and you can bring in the biblical strategies, and you can bring in the examples of how to be followers of Jesus to a lost and dying world, till you will begin to have people come up to you and they'll see all the marvelous works that God is doing through you and in your life. And they will say, "What must I do to be saved?" Because just like Nicodemus said to Jesus in John chapter 3, glory be to God. He said this to Jesus in John chapter 3, verse number 2. And it says this, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, our good teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs, these indicators that you do unless God is with you." And Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again from above, he cannot see, comprehend, or understand the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing and being right." Now, Nicodemus, Jesus is speaking spiritual. Nicodemus is thinking natural, even though he is a high priest in the synagogue. This is what Nicodemus says to Jesus. He says to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing and being right. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." You must be born again. That's the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the only way for you to enter into God's kingdom, God's presence, to enter into heaven. Now, the world will tell you there's multiple ways. There's multiple ways to get in. But Jesus said it this way in John chapter 14. He says this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by or through me." Jesus even continues here in John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send Jesus, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," the world through Jesus, "might be saved." That word saved means healed, set free, made whole, delivered, and made sound. He says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. But even after Jesus came to the earth to do the will of him who sent him, Jesus still also had an opportunity in the Garden of Gethsemane to back out on paying the ultimate price, not just to pay for your sins, because he paid for your sins, but he also came to make you and I free. And what happened? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating, so much pressure's on him to obey God to do this. So much pressure's coming against him because he knows about all the excruciating pain and sorrows that he's going to have to go through in order to fulfill the will and purposes and plans of God. He says, but he's made a decision, and he's asking his disciples to pray with him and to pray for him. And he's telling them, "Can't you pray with me for an hour?" And Jesus is going to the Father, and he asked the Father three things, three times the same thing. "Father, if there be any other way, if there be any other way to accomplish your plan, your purposes and pursuits to reconcile the world back into yourself, I ask that it be done. He says, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He said it to God three times. God never responded because Jesus, the man, was praying this prayer. But Jesus, the Christ, the Son, had already settled, this is what we're going to do. But when Jesus had made a decision and he settled it in his heart and he made a decision, Father, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And this is your will. And I came to do the will of him who sent me. He, when he made a decision, then there was strength given into his body. Then he was able to fulfill and complete the purposes and plans and pursuits to which God has sent him here to do. And I'm saying that to you today, and the Father saying that to you today. He says, I have already established a plan. I already have a will. I already have a way. I already have a method. I already have a calling. I already have a place that I've called you to be, and things I've called you to do, and words I've given you to say, and things I've told you to stay away from. He says, I've called you to be my instruments of righteousness. I've called you to be ministers of reconciliation. I've called you to go forth and proclaim to the world that God is no longer holding your sins against you, and that God has restored you or brought you back into right relationship with him through his Son, Christ Jesus. And whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you believe on the Son, Jesus Christ, he says, then you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not trying to be righteous. He's already made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because he's already made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you begin to see yourself, even when you have missed it, Father, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I'm in right relationship with you. Father, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all my sins. Father, by Jesus' stripes, I'm already healed. Father, according to your word, it says, I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. I've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but I received the spirit of adoption, whereby I'm able to cry, Abba, Father, for the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm truly a child of God. And if an heir, if a child, and if a son or daughter of God, then I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, Father, I've laid down my life. I surrendered it all to you, that your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. That's the word of the Lord today. Father, I make a decision that your will be done in earth, in my life, on earth, in earth, just like it is in heaven. I'm no longer going to be distracted by the money or the fame or the fashions or the houses or the cars or the men or the women or whatever it is that's trying to take your place. I've made a decision once and for all. I surrender all. I surrender all. I lay it all at your feet. I lay it all down. And I choose to do the will of him who sent me. That's the word of the Lord today. Have you made a decision to follow God's will? Have you made a decision to turn from your old ways, to lay down your old life, to pick up the life that he has for you? God says, I've called you to live in the newness of life, not living even after you're born again. He says, you're not that same person you was before. Busted, feel like you can't be trusted. No. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, everything is made new. Are you ready to make that decision this morning? Are you ready to go ahead and lay your life down and say, Father, once and for all, I make a decision to lay my life down for you? If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the starting part. So you can't get to the fulfilling God's will without first doing this part. And you know, in God's will, you know what? It is God's will that all men and women be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. In fact, he says it this way in Timothy chapter 2. In Timothy chapter 2, it says it this way. It says that it is God's will, it's his desire, Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God's desire, all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. God sent his son Jesus to reconcile you and I back into himself. He sent his son Jesus, but Jesus had to make a decision to go to the cross to follow God's will. And God is asking you and I to do the exact same thing. Make a decision today to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's as simple as making this confession in the corners of Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say this prayer with me. Make this confession out of your mouth. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I confess you as Lord over my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I make this confession of faith, and I make you the Lord of my life from this day forward. And I purpose in my heart to fulfill your plans, your purpose, your will, your way for my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, if you made that prayer, made that confession for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you back in the right relationship with God, welcome you back into right fellowship. Now, what do you do now? Man, you got to get into word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know the faith life is such a place. So if you'd like to join us here every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'd love to have you join us, and where you would hear words like this and even more words to help you to be doers of the word and not hearers only. At Faith Life, our goal is this, is where faith and life meet so that you can be a practical doer of the word each and every day. On behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite and Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.